What's up, everybody? Welcome to Water Break. My name is Ryan Cavan, and I'm here with my co-host, Terrell Thorogood.
What's up, everyone? And like always, we've got another dope episode prepared for you guys. So before you keep listening, hit that subscribe button on whatever podcast app you're listening to right now. Get ready to relax. Take a water break.
Welcome back to another episode of Water Break.
Yeah, we're back, and we missed you. We missed seeing you guys.
We took the Thanksgiving break off.
Yeah.
Just had a little relaxing time with family, and I hope you guys did as well. But we are excited to be back because we are starting off this Monday with a week in review.
Week in review.
We do need to come up with some cool jingles because that is something we both love. But I definitely like that one. Maybe we should just stick with it. But I feel like every time we do a new jingle because we don't remember what the last one was. But today, that is our week in review jingle.
Yeah.
And a lot has happened in the past couple weeks in sports, specifically in the NFL. And the first thing we're going to talk about, I know it's going to be heartbreaking for you. We're going to talk about some things here that I'm excited and kind of pumped to talk about because it's some drama in sports right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of drama going on in sports. I think there's just the tension from COVID and elections and everything. It's just
nonstop.
We're ready to get back to normal.
We are ready to get back. And I just want, you know, I think it's been 3 years since I went to an NFL game, you know, that I've been to an NFL game like live in person. I think 3 years. Yeah, 3 years. I went to a Rams game. But I just want the opportunity to go, even if I'm not going to go. Like, I want it to be like an option for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
just not like, knowing. Oh, yeah, I don't have any money right now.
Not knowing it's an option just upsets me. Like, even if I wanted to go, I couldn't. I wonder what the closest team to us right now is that has game that fans can go to.
Mm.
I wonder what the closest is. Arizona?
Arizona Cardinals. Yeah,
okay, so Arizona
fans at theirs.
Yeah, maybe we just might have to take a trip to Arizona and just do it. I would want to see.
Maybe for basketball, you could go watch the Lakers or something.
There we go. Yeah, but indoor, it's gonna be. I don't know. It's a mess. But we're gonna hop into week in review here, and we're gonna start off with the NFL. And so, T, we're gonna talk about the first thing is the Broncos today playing without a quarterback against the Saints. What I mean, not without a quarterback. They used someone to play quarterback, but I think we all understand. We know the drama that happened there. And since T, you are our resident Broncos fan, what were your thoughts there, your frustrations? Kind of share with us a little bit about what you're feeling today.
Yeah, so I mean, for those of you who don't know, the Broncos, all four of their quarterbacks who are on the roster were ineligible to play. I don't remember the last time that's ever happened, that a team. I don't know if that's happened in my lifetime. I've never seen a team not have any of their quarterbacks be able to play or not even be able to sign any other quarterbacks for that matter. Because, you know, basically what happened was Jeff Driskel, one of our quarterbacks, he tested positive for COVID on Thursday. And all of the other quarterbacks, Blake Bortles, Drew Lock, and Brett Rippon, they were all, you know, in their meeting room or whatever. They were all around each other.
Without masks.
Well,
that's what was reported.
There's been different reports. Drew Lock put out a statement. He said that his mask had slipped down and it had been down for an extended period of time or whatever. So maybe they were just careless.
It just magically slipped down.
Maybe. We've all been. We've all been there with these masks. Like it's just been down, or it's
you're just in the store for a while, and you're just like, man, I can't breathe. Like, I just gotta pull my nose.
Pull it down
just
a little bit, and you just get a little careless. And basically, that's what happened. Video. I guess there's video out there. Video surfers. They didn't have their masks on, and so there's this 48-hour protocol or whatever. I guess that. They've been testing regularly. None of them have positive tests. The remaining quarterbacks in the positive tests, but according to league protocols, they were ineligible to play, and the frustrating thing is to me not being able to get to reschedule.
Because there's been so many games rescheduled.
Yeah, I mean,
and it didn't happen to the Broncos.
It happened to us. Like we were supposed to play the Patriots, and then Cam gets COVID, and then so they're going to move our game to a Tuesday, and then they canceled it. We lost our bye week because we took our bye week in week three or four of the NFL, and then to make way for the Patriots. And then now the same thing happens to us. All everybody gets exposed. But the NFL wants to make an example out of Denver, apparently, and say, well, you guys didn't follow protocol. And so you guys are without a quarterback. It's just,
It's frustrating. Go into a little bit because it was last night. There were just so many different reports of what they were going to do. They ended up using a receiver on the practice squad to start as quarterback. But there were reports of an assistant coach. Like what was happening with all that?
Yeah. So the quality control coach, there was the reports of him being able, you know, maybe bringing him to play quarterback. He had played quarterback before, which I think is like, that's too much. I mean,
That would have been fantastic.
Just watching the game, I mean, you saw the replacement quarterback, Kendall Hinton, who went in there, and we'll talk about the game plan in maybe another time. But Kendall Hinton was in there, and you just saw him, and just watching Cam Jordan, who's a giant, you know, chasing after him in the pocket. Like, just imagine being like a quarterback who hasn't played.
No experience in the NFL.
Yeah, no NFL experience, hasn't played football in 8 years. And you're like, okay, go out there and just play against these other, like, come on.
The top athletes in the
world.
This
is what Tua got in trouble for was when, you know, Tua put out a statement, oh, I thought the NFL was going to be harder, and then Denver gave him the business last week.
Yep.
It's like, you can't just be like, oh, yeah, you haven't played in 8 years, football in general? Oh, yeah, go out and just go ahead and play against these professional athletes and, like, win the game. Like, no. But it's just frustrating.
I think he got his first completion in the third quarter.
Yeah, in the third quarter off of a screen pass or whatever, pass to Noah Fant. Like, it was 1 for 9 for the whole game. It was one of those, like, it reminded me of Tim Tebow, like, you know, do it 2 for 8 against the Chiefs in a game or whatever. But the difference was, like, we had at least a solid running game, you know, like,
and the defense didn't really show up. And
yeah, I mean, the defense did all they could. I mean, like half of the Saints points were because the offense the ball over through an interception or fumbled or whatever it is. So it was just one of those games, like come on, like, this isn't fair. This isn't even fun to watch. I've not missed a Broncos game since I was in 10th grade, and I turned it off halftime. And just, like,
did you?
Like, I stopped watching.
Because I know from experience not to text you during a Broncos game.
Right.
I don't. And so I wasn't going to text you because I was going to say something funny. And then I was like, you know, I'm going to be the bigger person, even though, you know, Laker games and stuff like that. So we'll talk about that another time.
Okay, I always text you after the games.
Yeah, that's true.
But
really frustrating situation.
It's just frustrating. Yeah. The NFL didn't give us a chance to reschedule.
I'm with you on that. Yep.
But speaking of big games, big moments, storylines, the NFL, we'll piggyback off of that. We had the showdown Brady versus Mahomes. I think this is their third matchup, second matchup.
Tyreek Hill right there.
Third matchup. Okay, I wonder what you're doing there. So I think this is the third matchup between the two guys.
Yeah.
Did you see the his gloves?
Yeah.
Have the little the peace sign on there. Yep. But I think he still did it.
He still did the peace sign today. Yeah.
But Brady, Mahomes, Chiefs versus Bucks today.
Mahomes' league now.
Yeah. This is.
I think it was passed. It wasn't really passed. It was kind of taken, because I think Brady still wants to think that it's his league. But man, Mahomes is just on another level.
Yeah, this dude, unbelievable. And this game was, I mean, Tyreek Hill went off. I mean,
yeah, of course.
You had him on fantasy today.
You had him?
Yeah, yeah.
60, what was it like the first quarter? He had two touchdowns and like 70 something yards in the first quarter, or something like that.
Three touchdowns for the game. Yeah. 60 plus fantasy points. Like, he went off today. But Mahomes did too. And just watching this game, like, there was just nothing. I mean, the Buccaneers defense, like, they started, it was like Patrick Mahomes started to not get full of himself or whatever, but play a little bit more loose in the second half. And took a little bit more chances. Of course, penalties and stuff like that. Kind of the Chiefs kind of got a little careless in the second half, but the score did not indicate how the game actually was. The Chiefs dominated this game. Brady he's looked old the last 2 weeks. He's looked like
it was almost like the first few games he was looking slow, and then he like came back to himself and was like the old Brady, you know. And now, like you're saying, the past few games, it's like, what is happening? Like, I feel like with age, there's just so much inconsistency.
Yeah.
You know, the older he gets, it's so up and down. Like, you never know which Brady you're going to get. And with Mahomes, I feel like everyone has a bad game every once in a while, but I think with Mahomes, you know what you're going to get.
Yeah. Like, he only had like a couple bad games this season. Yeah. And he's only had two.
And his bad games aren't really bad games.
Yeah. They're not terrible, but they're not Mahomes style, Mahomes level games. You know, to me, he's playing on just a whole other level. It's he's now separated himself from the rest of the quarterbacks in the league. Yep. Because before it was like, oh, you know, he's one of the top quarterbacks in the league. You know, there's a whole list of top quarterbacks, maybe four or five top quarterbacks.
Yep.
But he's just he's better than the rest of them.
Oh yeah.
This just the stuff he can do is unreal, unbelievable. So Mahomes had a great game against the Bucks. Only two interceptions on the season. To me, he's my pick for the MVP this year. But we'll get to that later.
You jumped.
We'll get into that later.
We will get to it.
He's my pick.
Moving on, continuing with the NFL. I don't know. I put this one down because I just want to hear from you. Get your prediction here. The NFC East. What if you had to predict who's going to come out of the NFC East? Let me read here the standings for you, T. The Giants and the Washington football team, they are both 4-7, records with 4-7. The Eagles are 3-6, and the Cowboys are 3-8. It is crazy to me to think that a team that is 3-8 potentially can win this division.
Yeah, I mean, statistically, with all the games left, they could still finish 8-8 season. It's possible.
I don't see that happening with the Cowboys.
It's possible.
Anything is possible.
Not probable.
Anything is possible. they really KG, need to unleash an inner the KG there.
So you're asking... Someone's asking for in the studio.
They're in the studio asking us if we're up here.
No. Who are you asking me? Who's my prediction to win this?
Who do you think is going to come out of the NFC East?
Well, I mean, it's going to be interesting seeing that, you know, the Eagles play the Seahawks, which, you know, time of recording, this is Sunday, so the Eagles will play the Seahawks Monday night.
Yep.
We'll see. I mean, I know there's talks of Jalen Hurts getting more and more involved in the offense. He might take over as a starting quarterback for the Eagles, but I'm gonna go with the Giants to win this division. Daniel Jones, he's getting better each week. He doesn't look like a first round draft pick.
That's your pick, but you're not very confident.
No, I mean the whole division's bad.
Oh, it's
like
terrible.
It's very bad. So the Giants, I think they're the team that looks the most like a respectable football team.
Yeah.
I mean, no offense, but a lot of offense should be taken. But in the Cowboys' defense, I mean, they've been through a quarterback carousel, obviously Dak going down. And then, you know, guys like Ben DiNucci and Gilbert playing and, you know, Andy Dalton. So they've had all these different quarterbacks playing for them. So that's, you know, it's understandable. You know, the Washington football team, Alex Smith is, you know, he's playing pretty well. He's playing okay. And then you look at the Eagles, like Carson Wentz, he's definitely in the overrated category.
Well, I think I was going to say, we had an episode talking about one-hit wonders. Like, he may be on that list eventually.
Yeah.
Like, we may... I'm not saying right now, there's still a chance he can still be a good quarterback in this league. I don't think it's over for him, but the way it's trending, I mean, in a couple of years, like that, you know, we have another episode talking about some one hit wonders. He could be on that list.
Yeah.
He very well could be.
Yeah. He definitely had that, you know, strong season, went down with injury, which is unfortunate, which made pave the way for Tom Brady to get the MVP that year. But yeah, Giants. I'm going Giants. What about you?
I don't care. No, I would like to say again, there's no right or wrong pick because it's so up in the air.
I think the wrong pick would be
the Cowboys.
Yeah, the Cowboys.
I would like, yeah, true. I would like Washington to win because of Alex Smith. I love that story of him coming back after possibly getting losing his leg, you know, and then coming back now and starting and that beautiful story. I would love to see them win, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing too is that's kind of frustrating is someone from this division is going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, yep.
So, yeah, that's kind of annoying. But speaking of this division and the worst team in the division, you know, Mike McCarthy, you know, we've gone back and forth. We talked about this. You know, was he the right fit? Was he the right, you know, selection for the Cowboys? I mean, to me, for, you know, a guy like, you know, a guy like that, obviously Thanksgiving Day, the fake punt.
So bad.
Yeah, atrocious. And, you know, he goes and defends himself, which, you know, you have to, I guess, in that position. But yeah, he's just too old school. He's too he's behind the eight ball. You know, even his coordinators, even, you know, having Mike Nolan, you know, as your defensive coordinator, like, he's just, everyone on your squad is just is you know, too old, I guess, or hasn't gotten with the times or gotten with the trends of how the game is played now. I don't want to put everything on his shoulders, or a lot of the blame on his shoulders, because again, you lose your starting quarterback.
Yeah.
That's always tough. Your offensive line.
They're not
going
to get rid of him this year.
No. I mean, and Jerry Jones is too prideful.
Yeah.
To just be like,
to admit right away that he made a mistake. I mean, look how long he let Jason Garrett be there for.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Jason Garrett.
He was there 2 or 3 years too long.
Yeah. Even Tony Romo. Like, you know,
it's true.
Tony Romo's a legend in Dallas, but at the same time, come on. Like, he definitely, you know.
There was a story that came out about Mike McCarthy before, I think even before he got the job, or maybe right when he got the job, that him and his team, his coaches, would meet on a regular basis doing scouting reports of other teams and different players and things like that, just to kind of stay up to date with everything. So it was kind of like when he got hired, it's like, man, like, he's been putting in a lot of work. He's been grinding because he's been out of the league. He's been out as a coach of 3 years, I think, after he left Green Bay. And I was reading that story, and kind of when I first heard it, I was like, maybe this will work out. Maybe he'll grind. He'll put in some work. And but I think you're right. I don't think he's kind of brought in the right mentality to that organization. And I think next year will be the real tell. I don't think you can, you know, again, like we're saying, like, cut him out so quickly. You know, you lose your starting quarterback that quickly. I think we'll wait till next year to kind of see, is this going to be a good fit? But it'll be interesting to see if it's not working out year two, year three, how quick Jerry Jones is to let him go.
Yeah. Or even Jerry Jones let himself go. I mean, I don't think he will, but at the same time, Cowboys need a new voice, a new leadership.
Yeah.
For being, you know, the biggest global, you know, team in the world. I mean, I just think,
yeah,
you gotta,
for sure,
you gotta move on.
Well, sticking with the NFL here, going to talk about the MVP race, and you already kind of mentioned it a little bit, but I want to dive in a little bit more. From what I could do through the research, the three candidates that are in the lead, Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, and Aaron Rodgers, are kind of the three. This was our I think the first episode we ever did on this show was talking about that award, the MVP award.
Yeah,
maybe it was episode two. Talking about that award, should it be... should we have a separate quarterback award? What should we do there? I know that's your opinion, because it does seem like they're the leader in the MVP race there. After what Derrick Henry did today, it's kind of like, maybe he'll catch a little momentum and get up there in the top three. Russell Wilson, the first few games looked like he was going to be a knock, like, this is his year. He's getting MVP.
Yeah.
But after the past three or four games, I think I'm going to have to agree with you there. I think Mahomes is going to get it.
Yeah. I mean, look, I stand by my argument. There should be a separate quarterback of the year award, and then there should be the MVP award, because, like you said, Derrick Henry has had a fantastic season this year. You know, he's played well. He's been the backbone of the Titans. But, you know, credit to even Tannehill, who stepped up his game, playing at a Pro Bowl level. But for this conversation, for the MVP, Mahomes, like, it's just, you can't really make an argument for anyone else. I mean, you know, you've Lamar Jackson coming into the season, maybe he can repeat as MVP. He's definitely not lived up to his, you know, standard, which, again, it's only his third year in the league, you know. Yeah. So you gotta, sometimes we see like someone take off year one or year two, and then we're like, okay, you need to be great for the rest of your
career. You have to do that career. Every game.
Yeah. So it's like, you got to understand, like, some guys have drop off years, or they, you know, everyone catches up to them, or, you know, again, it's just kind of like a flip. Like, sometimes you have quarterbacks who struggle out of the gates and then they start to pick it up, you know, like a guy like Ryan Tannehill, you know, for example. You know, he may be a guy who picked it up out of the gates, and then now, like, the league is catching up to him. So, you know, he's a guy that, you know, and then Brady, you know, had that strong stretch, you know, of about four or five games in the middle of the season. And then he started to slow down. But Mahomes is someone we kind of put on the back burner. Like, we know you're great. let's look at everyone else. And then now,
because of our expectation of,
yeah,
yeah, we expect.
And when you step back
this.
And look at his numbers, it's like 30 touchdowns and two yeah. interceptions. Like that's unbelievable. I mean, you know, if the Raiders want to hang their hat on something, that they're the only team that's picked him off. But yeah, Mahomes is, this dude's incredible to watch. Mm-hmm. There's obviously the comparison, like you mentioned, of Aaron Rodgers. I don't know. There's something different, a little bit different about Mahomes versus Rodgers, in that, yes, they're both these flashy quarterbacks with these crazy good arms, you know, arm talent and
no look passes,
and they can get out of trouble. But I think the thing with Mahomes is, I don't know, like the difference between Rodgers and Mahomes. I feel like with Mahomes, there's that level of that like rah-rah, that leadership. Like, I think he's more likable.
Yeah, he is.
Than Aaron Rodgers. And I think he can get, you know, the rest of the team.
Aaron Rodgers' own family doesn't like him.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think that's just it. And that even that little bit, I feel like, is enough to say, okay, now players, we want to come over to Kansas City. We want to come play with you guys. We want to, you know, be a part of your organization. Where, you know, Rodgers,
which is crazy to think that people are wanting to go to
Kansas City.
Like, yeah, you are choosing, like, Le'Veon Bell. Like, you left New York.
Yeah,
and you're wanting to go to Kansas City.
Well, I mean, in his defense, it's the Jets. But again,
I'm just saying, in location wise, like,
yeah,
I get wanting to leave the Jets. Like, I'm not advocating for that at all. But I mean, there was a good amount of places he could have went. Like, yeah, you know, and so
to, you know, go to a contender. But he makes it look appealing. I mean, in Kansas City's defense, I've never been to Kansas City.
I haven't either.
I heard they're got good barbecue there. But yeah, Kansas City looks great. Yep. And again, I can't really, I mean, as a division rival, you hate to see them win, but at the same time, with Mahomes being such a likable guy and then the way they play, and they're not really cocky, their fans really aren't cocky at all. Like, they're, you know, I've met a few Kansas City fans and they're just like, yeah, go Chiefs, you know, but we're like, we're the greatest, you know, Chiefs, like, our fans. I have a lot of respect for the Chiefs.
I'm going with Mahomes, too.
Yeah, Mahomes. Homeboy.
Let's do it.
Last thing in the NFL, the Detroit Lions fired their head coach, Matt Patricia.
Peace.
Deuces. I mean, look, it's about time.
General manager, too, correct?
Yeah, general manager as well. So, I mean, look, the Lions.
Is this the turnaround they need?
Yeah, of course. I mean,
they needed it, but it's like, what do you now, like, are they now just going to turn the tides that quickly? Like, what are we expecting? What are our expectations for them?
I mean, look, the Lions have some talent on their team. I mean, Matthew Stafford's, great quarterback, Marvin Jones. They have talent on this team. They have a decent defense. But it's just funny. It's like you go from, you know, Jim Caldwell, who's, you know, previous coach, you know, four seasons there, two trips to the playoffs, finished 9-7 the year, you know, the year before, and then you fire him. Like, he had a winning record as your coach, took you to the playoffs twice in four seasons. He hadn't been there, you know, in a long time. And in comes, you know, we bring in this guy, Matt Patricia, with no head coaching experience, coach being the defensive coordinator of the Patriots, who, I mean, really, Bill Belichick is the orchestrator of that of that defense, you know. But a lot of Belichick's disciples get shots at being quarterback coaches in the NFL.
That sounded like you're hating there.
What?
His disciples, like you. Disciples. Sound like you were hating a little bit on Belichick there.
No, I mean, like, that's what I'm saying. No. I'm not hating on him. His guys get a lot of opportunities to coach.
That's kind of the story of great coaches. I mean, look at Greg Popovich. Like, look how many coaches in the NBA.
No. It's not a knock on him. I'm just saying a lot of his guys get the opportunity to coach. Yeah. It's understandable, you know, like, why they, hey, let's go after one of Belichick's guys. But at the same time, you look at a lot of Belichick's guys' records in the NFL or their production in the NFL.
They are that because they're with Belichick.
Yeah, they haven't been great.
I'm with you.
So the Lions have done worse with Patricia than they did with Jim Caldwell. So it'd be interesting to see who they decide to go after for the next head coach.
I think they'll wait for the offseason.
Yeah, for sure.
They're not going to.
Yeah, you wouldn't go for anyone right now.
They're not going to pull the trigger now on anything.
Yeah, I think they need someone with an offensive
yeah,
you know, mindset. I think that's where they need to go and kind of, you know, give their offense a little bit more life and a little bit more energy for the for the Lions.
Well, that's the NFL talk, and now we're going to move to a little college football, stick in the football realm here. And the college football playoff standings, the top four teams are as follows: Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, and Ohio State. First question, T, are you okay with that order, or is there another team you'd like to see in there? And I guess we'll just kind of combine these questions. As far as with Notre Dame, you think they're for real?
Yeah, I mean, so to answer both of your questions, I mean, yeah, I mean, the standings, you know, standings look good. Alabama's solid. Notre Dame has had a great season so far. Clemson, Ohio State, all of them, you know, they got it right so far. It's gonna be interesting coming down to the wire. I mean, obviously, COVID has thrown off a lot of things, mm-hmm. With cancellations and reschedules, and you know, players being out, and you know, this and that. So, it's definitely a season that I feel, you know, is a championship that's gonna have an asterisk next to it. Should have an asterisk next yep. to it. But Notre Dame, yeah, Notre Dame's for real. Look, they're solid, you know, really top to bottom. I think this is the year they can get over the hump and get into the, you know, the championship game.
Really?
Yeah, I think this is the year. They're a really good team this year. They're solid quarterback and running back.
If they stay in that same spot, they'll beat Clemson.
Yeah, I mean that you know, the game against Clemson earlier this season was, you know, was a great game. I mean, both teams played well, both played very well. But
who did Clemson not have?
I mean, they didn't have Trevor Lawrence that game.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but the same
so
time,
to me, it's like.
But at the same time, he hasn't played in, you know, he didn't play for, you know, for a while. I mean, I feel like that just kind of threw off his rhythm as well. I don't know. I mean, we'll see.
I don't see them beating Clemson. I don't see them. I don't know. I think they're a good team, but if they end up playing Clemson, I don't see that changing. I mean, if these four teams stay at the top, which I think they will, yeah. I don't think that's going to change. I see another Alabama Clemson championship game.
Yeah, which is probably, I mean,
which is not like, that's not like a big yeah, surprise yeah, big, that yeah, someone big would hot say take. That. Like, that's but, a huge
I,
hot take.
Yeah, but, yeah. I feel like Notre Dame can make the push, get over the hump, and get to the championship game.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting, and I agree with you. I don't think this championship game this year, you know, they've talked about almost every single sport. It's like, does this sport deserve an asterisk for the championship? And this would be one, you know, I agree with you on. I think it would with everything that's happened with COVID, the teams that have started later, just kind of all the everything kind of surrounding that. I think this year is going to be not as significant to win this year in 2020.
Yeah, it's.
But I think it's good that they're still doing something because yeah. for the seniors and stuff like that. I feel like it'll still be really valuable to the players, but as far as from the fans' perspective, it's not going to be as valuable this championship.
Yeah.
But for the players, like, you know, Trevor Lawrence, you know, he ends up, you know, if they end up winning this year, I think that'll be really special for him or whatever. But I don't see it as big for the fans.
Yeah.
From their perspective.
Yeah. You know, and speaking of Trevor Lawrence, you know, we're coming down to the wire for the mm-hmm. Heisman watch. Who he's a guy I feel bad for. Yep. To, you know, because, you know, he was obviously preseason. Everyone's talking about him. He's going to win the Heisman this year.
I think even after the first few games, he was, you know.
Yeah, lock for the Heisman. Then yep. obviously, you know, with him getting COVID and being out, you know, definitely hurt his stock for the Heisman. Mm-hmm. But right now, if you had to choose, who's your pick for the Heisman?
I don't think you can go wrong with Mac Jones, Alabama quarterback, Alabama. I have a few of his stats here. He's sixth in passing yards with getting close to 3,000 passing yards, seventh in touchdowns. His quarterback rating is first at a 95.5, and he's only got three interceptions on the year, so 23-3. And Alabama, obviously, the powerhouse that they are, being first, you know, the number one ranking in college football. I don't think you can go wrong with him. I agree with you. I thought it would have. I was looking forward to the potential of Trevor Lawrence getting that. I think it would have been cool for him to get it. I think he's a very likable player. I think he's gonna if he chooses. This is gonna be another topic for another time. If he chooses to go into the draft this year, He'll most definitely be on the Jets. And not most definitely. You can't say that for sure.
But No, I agree.
You know what
with
I mean? It'll probably.
Highly likely.
Will he decide to go back to Clemson and play another year? He's a junior this year. And then, you know, maybe even next year, you know, try to win that Heisman. What's going to go through his mind? I do feel bad for him, but I think you can't go wrong with Mac Jones.
Yeah. I mean, to 10 seconds on that, I mean, it is hard to pass up on the money. You know,
very true.
Because you could always get hurt in college and you go from the first round pick to a fourth round pick. You know, so it is hard to pass up on that, but we'll see. For me, I mean, there's a lot of good guys in the Heisman race. I mean, Mac Jones, you know, did make a strong case against Auburn in the Iron Bowl. Just went off in that game, you know, to be the Heisman. But I like Kyle Trask of Florida. You know, who's put up solid numbers this year. 34 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, nearly 3,000 yards. So he's played well. He's my pick to win the Heisman this year. I mean, Justin Fields is, I guess, the sleeper, the long shot, possibly.
Yep.
You know, even the quarterback out of BYU, Wilson, I think that's his name, or I forget his name. His name's slipping me. But the quarterback out of BYU, who's playing well as well too. So, but yeah, Kyle Trask is my pick to win the Heisman this year.
Not Mac Jones. He's definitely in the lead right now.
Not old McDonald.
Continue talking about college football. Jarrett Patterson, Buffalo's running back, had 8 touchdowns this past weekend, tying Ricky Williams for most in college football history. Pretty crazy. 8 touchdowns. He was getting even some notice and some respect by a bunch of NFL players, and even LeBron, I think, shouted him out, a bunch of different players. That was pretty crazy to see.
Yeah, I mean, always, especially when, you know, you have guys, you know, that usually happens at the smaller schools anyways. But yeah, I mean, great performance, 8 touchdowns, something truly, truly special to watch.
For sure.
And speaking of special to watch, we can't wrap up the college football without talking about this weekend. Obviously, history being made with Vanderbilt's Sarah Fuller becoming the first female to play in a Power 5 college football game. Let me get your thoughts first, then I'll get mine on the...
I like how you throw it to me first. Listen, I'm just going to be real. I think we like to speak
truth.
That's
what we do here on Water Break.
I have no problem whatsoever with a female playing in a game here. I think that's really cool. It's really cool that was a large topic. But look, let's just be real. We all saw the kick. It was mediocre at best. I'm not being funny, but I've seen high schoolers who did not play college football kick significantly better than that. I've actually seen a flag football game of a high schooler kick better than that. And so again, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I think it's a really cool story. I think it was good of SportsCenter and everyone to kind of bring notice to that. But I think she got that opportunity because Vanderbilt wanted to get a little notice there. That's my opinion.
Yeah. I'm kind of torn because obviously, I mean, their head coach, Derek Jones, former head coach, he just got fired. You know, he said, oh, I didn't want to make a statement. You know, this isn't about, you know, making some noise, you know, to our organization. You know, they had players go down with COVID, some, you know, left, you know, for whatever reason. And so they were scrounging for players. And then, you know, let's ask this girl, you know, on the Vanderbilt soccer team, you know, to come over and play kicker for us, which I get it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I still, even though he said I'm making a statement, I still like, it's hard to disagree with you on like, there wasn't any player even on the roster who couldn't even, and he kicked the ball 25 yards.
And I'm not saying she's never been a kicker on a football team. I mean, I'm sure she's a great soccer player.
Right. I mean, my take on this is look, I'm all for, you know, we're not anti-women or women's sports here, you know, for sure. But I think for moments like this, I would just like to see it be earned. Like, yeah. I think these moments should be earned. I don't like it. It almost felt gratuitous. Like, there's this big hype, you know, and just like, oh, yeah, this is, you know, such a big moment, such a groundbreaking moment for women in sports. And then, you know, almost kind of like you feel bad and kind of like in fairness to her. It felt like it wasn't fair to her, too, because, you know, she's in this situation. She's in this moment like. Yep. She barely kicks the ball, and now you kind of open up herself for criticism and ridicule and all of these different things where I feel like she doesn't necessarily deserve that, you know, because again, like I said, these moments should be earned because you could literally do that in any form, any sport. I mean, the Knicks could be like, hey, we're going to pull up Sabrina Ionescu from the Liberty for a 10-day contract, and we're going to sit her in the corner and shoot threes, like, oh, groundbreaking. But at the same time,
she might hit an open three.
Yeah, she's going to score. Like, she's not a terror. She knows how to play basketball. Like, she's going to score. She may score a layup or whatever, may play in the game. But unless she's going to be a part of the organization and you know, be there for the long term, where I feel like, okay, and play significant, you know, time for your team, then it's earned. Then it's great. I mean, I look at, you know, Becky Hammond, you know, coaching with the Spurs. I mean, it wasn't just like, oh, yeah, she's on our roster. She's one of the, you know, assistant, you know, coordinators, coaches or whatever for us. Like, she's on the coaching staff. Like, no, it's earned that now she's sitting on the bench with the team and, you know, is potentially she may take over as a head coach of the Spurs. Okay, that's an earned moment. She's
respected
amazing.
By the players. Right. She's earned that. She hasn't been given that.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, that's my whole take on the whole.
I'm with you on that.
Sarah.
I mean, if she would have kicked it to the end zone and had, you know, and she would have gotten the tackle, I would have had a whole episode dedicated to her.
Right. If she made a great play and you're like, whoa, this girl, she could actually where other teams actually want her on the roster.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, yeah.
It's just like when you're Vanderbilt, you lost 41-0. Like, she literally had no other opportunity to kick the ball. I mean, I was like, can't you at least get in field goal range or something? Yep. Like, give her a chance.
Give her something.
Kick the ball. Like, he's that one time. Yeah. It was to kick the ball off the second half. So.
No, I'm with you.
Yeah. So.
I feel bad, but we're on the same page. Moving away from football, though, we're going to hop over to basketball here, talk about the NBA. And this topic to me is really intriguing. The Bucks lose out on Bogdanović, if I pronounced that correctly.
Sure.
I think it was correct. I kind of just went with the spelling on that. But they lost out on Bogdan. And he first, there was a sign and trade that they had announced and that he was going to go over to the Bucks. And I believe they were trading DiVincenzo from when he, the second year player, which is a nice little piece. And then that kind of fell through because they were reported that there was like tampering before everything went down. And then he wanted to test. Restricted free agency. The Kings had an opportunity to match whatever whoever signed that, and ended up signing with the Hawks. And the Kings neglected and didn't want to sign that offer sheet, which I understand from their perspective because they had just given De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield the year before those big contracts. They have Marvin Bagley coming on. They're still paying Harrison Barnes. Like, they're, you know, they were going to be deep in the luxury tax if not. So I understand where they were coming from there, but. The Bucks to lose out on him, what does that mean for them?
Yeah, I mean, this pretty much for the Bucks was kind of their the nail in the coffin for them. Mm-hmm. You know, they,
because this was a, I mean, to me when I saw that, I mean,
I was like, great pickup. This yeah. might be a key into keeping Giannis be able to see like, okay, they're actually trying. They made some moves. We got some players, and you know, losing a guy like him who's not. You know, he's not all-star talent. Mm-hmm. He's not that guy, but he's a solid enough piece. He's a strong enough piece.
And he's a closer. He's been a proven closer.
Yeah,
too.
And he's better than what, you know, he's better than what they, you know, ended up giving up Drew Holiday for. So,
oh yeah,
you know, he's better than Bledsoe and Hill and, you know, those guys. So he's a good, solid piece, and losing him is definitely a death blow to the Bucks.
I think so too. You know, when I saw they got Drew Holiday, I was like, that's really cool. But to me, he's just a better version of Eric Bledsoe. They're both similar players, really great on defense. He's obviously a better offensive threat. So I'm not saying he's definitely better than Eric Bledsoe. I'm not saying that. But they gave up, George Hill, Eric Bledsoe, and three first round picks. Like, that's a lot for Drew Holiday. That is they gave up everything, and I believe they gave up everything because they thought that they had this sign and trade already done in the books. So they were like, man, we got these two guys. I don't think now, knowing that they miss out on Bogdan, that they would have given all of that for Drew Holiday.
Oh, no.
I don't think they would have. So what it means for the Bucks, I think you're exactly right. It kills them. It hurts them deeply. And then what does it mean for Giannis? I personally believe if they do not make a pretty serious acquisition here by the All-Star break, even though there's no All-Star game, by the All-Star break, I think it means he's gone.
Yeah.
Unless they end up winning a championship, I think he's gone. I don't think he stays. I see him going to Miami, maybe Toronto, but I kind of see Miami. I see him going to a place like that. All the rumors about him going to the Lakers, you know, obviously every Laker fan of the world wants to think he is. I don't see that happening. I see him going to a place like, you know, staying in the East, going to Miami or to Toronto.
Yeah, I mean, but you don't think he makes a trip out west to the Warriors?
I don't think so. I mean, there's a chance, there's an opportunity. Obviously, they have enough trading pieces for it. Like, yeah,
and even, you know, Clay going down.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, you know, there'll be 2 years with no basketball for him.
I think he'd want to stay in the East. But there have been some executives that have come out and said that the Lakers are eyeing a partnership between him and AD.
Possible.
It is. It's
possible.
It's very unlikely.
It's possible.
I don't
not
see
probable.
Him. I mean, he turned down LeBron for Space Jam. He doesn't really want that spotlight. You know, he's not that type of player.
Yeah.
And so I think he likes kind of the grittiness. He's kind of that player of like that Pat Riley, Miami Heat. I see him in a place like that. But we'll see what happens.
Might be a good move. And speaking of, you know, the whole trade falling through, there was a lot that happened during free agency. Mm-hmm. We had our free agency show, made our predictions, we talked about it. And let's talk about what happened. Who are some of the big winners and losers of free agency? Let's start with we'll just bounce every other winners and losers. So I'll start.
Okay.
I'm going to go winner here. I'm going to go with the Atlanta Hawks.
Ooh, that's one of mine.
Atlanta Hawks winner for in free agency.
They're relevant again.
Yeah, I mean they're a team that's, you know, somewhat watchable. Obviously tough to watch them in this market over here, but they'll be a team I think was, you know, they're going to get a little bit more games on TV this year. You know, you got Trae Young, you've got Rondo in the backcourt. Obviously Chris Dunn is a good pickup. Gallinari as well. Good pickups, and then obviously you were talking about Bogdan, you know, with the Bucks. So The Bucks have Bucks got a lot of good pickups, and then drafting the kid out of USC, Kongu.
We need Daylon to pronounce,
to pronounce his name. So all good pickups, and then obviously, you know, still got solid pieces coming back for them, Collins and Cam Reddish, and you know, guys like that. So the Hawks, I think, can be a playoff team this year. I think with Rondo, they probably will be a playoff team.
Yeah.
You know, him coming in, being in that mentorship role, I think would be really good for Trae Young. Even Chris Dunn too will be a good mentorship role too.
Oh,
so
for sure.
That's a team that's a winner for me.
Yeah, for sure. I would I'm gonna roll with, obviously, I gonna say the Lakers. That's not gonna be my team I pick right now, because that would just be the obvious answer that everyone would expect me to pick. Although I do think they won free agency. They were one of the winners of free agency. I think they made some really smart moves. But I'm gonna go with the Portland Trailblazers. They made that trade. They made a few trades, got some really nice acquisitions. It really wasn't free agency, though. It was really through trades. They left Hassan Whiteside kind of go. Mm-hmm. Then they got Enes Kanter back, who I think was really great for them. And then they picked up Robert Covington, who's going to kind of do what Trevor Ariza did for them last year, but just better.
Yeah.
He's a little bit younger, is better on defense. And I kind of think Portland's going to be pushing back at the top of the West again, you know, especially with the Warriors losing Clay. I see them see them being a top team. I think they got those two guys, and they're going to be set. Obviously, they re-signed Carmelo, mm-hmm. which offensively, that was a really smart move for them. And I think, you know, they gave him that chance, and he proved that he can still play in this league. And so, and then I think they signed Rodney Hood again, too, mm-hmm. Which those four pickups, I think, were really great. And I think they're definitely not going to be the eight seed this year. I can say that.
Yeah, no, they're definitely going to get better. I like Portland's moves this this offseason. So definitely good on you for I don't know why I went Australian on that one, but for the Trailblazers. I'm going to go another winner here. I'm going to go with the Boston Celtics as a winner here in free agency, the NBA offseason. Look, I mean, locking down Jason Tatum for the long term.
Smart.
Good move for the Celtics. He's their guy. He's their franchise player. He's their mm-hmm. piece to build. Now you really build around him going forward. You know, losing Gordon Hayward, I think, is a good move for Boston. I always felt like with a guy like him, they always tried to shoehorn him in. You know, because he was injured, like,
yeah,
for the majority of his contract, for three of the four seasons he was with Boston. Like, he was, you know, he was often injured. So,
yeah.
So offloading that contract as well maybe clears up space for them to possibly make a move next offseason, excuse me. You know, and then still having, you know, some draft picks as well. You can build around Jason Tatum, and then Tristan Thompson was a huge pickup.
That was a really good pickup.
You know, to me, that's what Boston needed. They need that interior post presence as a, you know, rebounder. Again, Tristan Thompson's not going to, I don't think he's going to put up the numbers he did in Cleveland. He's with LeBron, you know, where he got that huge contract with the Cavs. But I think as a decent rim protector and a good mm-hmm. rebounder, he's going to be a good piece, you know, to go up against guys like Adebayo or be able to fill the lane, you know, with Giannis coming through too as well. So Boston, I like their moves in the offseason as another winner.
Yeah, I kind of struggled with that because I think Gordon Hayward is a little bit more valuable than we're giving him credit for. I think he was a glue type player, and when he was in, they were definitely better. When he was playing, they were definitely a better team. But then on the flip side, it kind of makes me think those guys, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, will have bigger roles. And right. So maybe they'll fill in and fit into those shoes better now, and they won't have to be worrying about his minutes, their minutes, or touches and things like that.
That's why I feel like they tried to push Gordon Hayward too much, and now they're going to give Tatum and Jaylen Brown, like, this is your team. We're going to work on you guys. And really, I mean, if we're going to go winner, you talk about Gordon Hayward. He's definitely a winner in this offseason. Oh, I mean, he managed to squeeze in two max contracts with one all-star appearance.
Yep.
So,
good for him.
Credit to him.
I don't know what agency he's with, but I think he's with CAA or whatever. But either way, it doesn't matter what agency he's with. He just got paid.
Yeah, he got
the bag.
He got the bag from Boston to now Charlotte.
Very sweet, though. Winner, obviously, I'm just going to roll with it. I'm going to roll with the Lakers.
Yeah, I think.
I know you're...
No, I agree. They won the offseason.
They had some really, really great acquisitions. Obviously, it was reported from the beginning we were going to lose Rondo. We weren't going to pay him. I thought we were going to lose to the Clippers, which I think would have been a fantastic pickup for them. They definitely missed out on that. We'll talk about them in a minute, but I think the Lakers made some really smart moves. Danny Green, I think Wes Matthews. I think Danny Green is a better player, but for what Danny Green actually gave us last year, he did not reach his potential. But for what he gave us last year, Wes Matthews can give us that.
Yeah.
Danny Green could have given a lot more, in my opinion, but Wes Matthews can give what Danny Green gave. Got KCP back, and then picking up Montrezl Harrell was just, I mean, yes, you know, you lose Dwight and you lose kind of that athleticism, that reach and everything like that, but Montrezl Harrell and then picking up Dennis Schroeder, both of those guys averaged 18 points a game last year.
Yeah.
We didn't really have a third scoring option on the Lakers. I mean, we did, but it was like one night it was Kuzma, one night it was Avery Bradley, one night it was Rondo, one night, you know, it was whoever, pick it up, Caruso would get 15 in a game. You didn't really have a guy that was like a lock to score 15 or 16 points. Now we have two more of those, which gives, I think, LeBron a little bit more time to kind of rest, maybe take a few nights off, maybe not even not play, but, you know, just kind of relax a little bit, play with play within the game, not have to force anything more. I just some really, really smart moves. Montrezl Harrell had that issue, those issues with the Clippers. They obviously didn't want him there, but I don't think he's going to have those issues with the Lakers when you got LeBron James as the leader of that team. Really some smart moves. We're even better than we were last year winning the championship.
Yeah, I feel like the Lakers got better. Montrezl Harrell is not a head scratch. I mean, definitely a good pickup, but he's one. He shrunk so bad in the playoffs.
He did, but most of that was on the defensive end. I think it was because he was taking, and he did shrink on the offensive end, but I think it was because of that beating he was taking from Jokic. And now when we play Denver, he's not going to be a focal point guarding Jokic. Marc Gasol is going to be on him, which Marc Gasol was a great pickup. He's not the Marc Gasol from the Grizzlies.
No, but he's
a very smart defender. He's a big body.
Great passer.
Great passer. And he could stretch the floor. He could shoot the three. I mean, last year, I think he shot over 40% from the three.
Yeah.
So that was a really smart pickup. And really, if we're being honest, we picked him up because you needed someone to guard Jokic.
Yeah.
Like every team, top-tier team in the West is getting someone to be able to guard against Jokic. Because if you're playing the Nuggets, Jamal Murray's going to get his, but really that offense runs through Jokic. You need someone to stop him.
Yeah. Let's go to losers.
Yeah.
Losers in the NBA. For me, losers, I'm going to come right off the top here. I'm going to go with the Clippers, the other team in LA.
Which Serge was a good pickup.
Serge Ibaka was a good pickup, I think kind of saved their offseason.
Because it would have been real bad.
Yeah, if you will. But again, obviously a coaching change, so change in the coaching staff was a big move, which I think Tyronn Lue is a good replacement for Doc Rivers, but that started the off season. But then, yeah, there are talks of possibly getting Rondo to play point guard. Obviously, you got Kawhi Leonard on record saying, hey, we need a point guard. We need a point guard. And then them not getting, the point guard they needed. There's really now they're stuck with Pat Bev. It's out there. They don't believe in Pat Bev as their guy, as the point guard. Now there's talks of Lou Williams. They're trying to move him. We already talked about Montrezl Harrell leaving the Clippers as well. So the Clippers really didn't add any significant pieces other than Ibaka, who's good. He's not Montrezl Harrell though. So he's a good piece. But, not a great piece pickup necessarily. So the Clippers not really getting that much better in the offseason. Obviously, there's some turmoil in that organization. There was a lot of rifts in the locker room, with load management and whatnot. But again, Tyronn Lue apparently is supposed to come in and say no more load management. So that's my first pick here for the loser.
Yeah, I feel to me that would have been my number one, and I really only have another one, so I'm not going to dive deep, and I don't know if this one's going to be yours as well. But to me, the Houston Rockets are losers.
Yeah,
your stars both won out. You didn't do anything with it. I don't think you made them happy. I think there's just more animosity created there. You got a good new coach, but really. He has nothing to work with. You're putting him in a really bad situation where you have two superstars that don't want to be there. They both want to be gone. There was talks about John Wall potentially being traded straight up for Russell Westbrook and maybe even Blake Griffin and all of that. There were a bunch of rumors and everything like that. But none of those guys want to be there. You're not going to get enough back for them. It's just not going to happen. There's no one that's going to trade a James Harden for a James Harden.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's no one on the market. Like, the best player that you could probably potentially trade for is maybe John Wall. Like, and the Nets have some nice pieces. They don't equal James Harden, but they're nice pieces. Spencer Dinwiddie, like, he's a nice player. Caris LeVert is a good player. Jared Allen is a good player. But you're not going to get what you want back for them. So what are you going to do? You obviously got rid of Daryl Morey, who created a roster around small ball, and now he's gone. Like, you got to make some moves. You're not going to be able to compete with the Lakers, with Denver, with the Clippers, with any of these teams in the West. Portland's getting better with the Warriors, even without Klay. We're going to be still a solid team. So it's going to be really interesting, but I think they are definitely losers. The Clippers and the Rockets are the two, to me, the biggest losers in free agency.
Yeah, Rockets are a big loser. I mean, DeMarcus Cousins, I think, is, I feel like no disrespect to him, but I feel like any Ibaka type pickup, you know, like good, but
I don't even think it's that good.
Yeah, like
I mean, he didn't play at all last year.
We haven't seen him in 2 years. We haven't seen him since the finals.
You saw him with the Warriors in the playoffs, yeah. Like, but you know, he didn't look that great, and not because anything wrong.
In game three, he had like 15 points or something like that, but
nothing crazy.
Yeah, so he's. You know, he's a decent
But maybe this player. Is the resurgence for him, and maybe he ends up just end up being
good. Maybe he gets him like 18-10 or something like that. You know, we'll see. Maybe he fills that void that Capella left or something. But I'm going to go with another loser. I'm going to go with Charlotte as a loser here in the offseason.
The offseason or free agency?
Free agency.
Okay, I was going to say, because the offseason, I mean, if you count the draft, I think LaMelo was a good pickup for them.
Free agency. Look, you know, LaMelo Ball was a good pickup. I think you have to pick him. You know,
you have 3-point guards starting potentially.
You know, Charlotte has, you know, some, you know, decent pieces, you know, Devontae Graham and Bridges.
Terry Rozier.
You know, Rozier. So they have good
Bridges,
pieces.
Malik Monk.
But at the same time, they're an organization who's just, they just make these weird random pickups and spend a lot of money. You know, you just mentioned Terry Rozier. They spent a lot of money on Terry Rozier, a lot of money on Bismack Biyombo, a lot of money now on Gordon Hayward, too.
Batum, Nicholas
Batum. Know, Batum as well, you know, picking up him, who's now, you know, going to the Clippers. So, you know, they just, these random pickups where they just spend a lot of money and they just, I feel like, just want to make a splash because they have money to make a splash. You know, they're kind of like that. You know, they're that friend you always have that just like that has money. Like we've known friends like that in college or whatever. Yeah, like they have money saved up, and you're just like, yo, bro, check this out. Like I just got this, you know, whatever. I got this Fitbit or whatever, and it's like, okay, but you don't have a car. Like why did
you're 19?
Why did you buy the Fitbit? Like you know,
you're in really good shape. You don't need a.
You don't have a job. I don't know why you went and got a Fitbit. It's just like.
That's funny.
Yeah, so it's just, I don't know. Yeah. You know, Charlotte with the confused, you know, spending money again. LaMelo Ball will bring some level of entertainment.
Yeah,
but Charlotte will still be at the bottom of the league.
Yeah. So well, last question for week in review here, the last topic, and I want to know what you think here. Looking forward to the NBA season, are you taking the Lakers or are you taking the Field?
This is tough. You know, it's been stated over and over. I'm a diehard Laker hater. But I'm going to go with the Field.
You said that like it was like a big surprise. Like, you know what? I'm going to go with the Field. Yeah, obviously. We all knew you weren't going to pick the Lakers.
Look, I was obviously, before Klay went down, riding with the Warriors to win. I mean, it's still James Wiseman. Who knows? They may unleash him a little bit more, feature him a little bit more now with Klay out. You know, and then Kelly Oubre is a decent replacement for him. He's no scrub, but he's still not Klay Thompson level shooter.
Wiggins, still got Curry, still got Draymond.
Yeah, so the
nice little squad.
The Warriors are still good. It's just hard for me to pick someone to come out of the West and beat them. So I'm rolling with the Nets. If the Nets can stay healthy, number one, which is always, it's so funny. It's like everyone always says that, like, if they can stay healthy, it's like, if every team can stay healthy, you're going to have a chance.
Yeah.
But obviously the Nets, they're very injury prone. So if that's not their big hang up is, you know, some nagging injury here or there, or someone missing significant time, then I like the Nets to come out and come out of the East, give the Lakers a run. I'm going to take the Nets. To win. If I'm going to go sleeper pick against the Field, then I'm going to go with Boston as my sleeper pick.
Okay.
Disappointed in my
I actually thought for once you might have potentially picked the Lakers.
The Lakers did get better.
Are they the favorite?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to go against them, but again...
But you picked the Field. I mean, the Field is nothing... It's not wrong to pick the Field. I mean, you have a... There's a higher chance that someone else will win rather than one team. Like,
I'm also taking into the equation like there was the bubble, you know, teams.
But they're so much better now.
They were better, but
no.
I mean, they are better.
They're better now than they were when they won.
Yeah, but you got to also think like, you know, home court advantage too. I mean, think about if
in LA.
Think about if games were played in Miami too.
No, T. Think about if they were played at Staples, bro.
I mean, Staples can get loud.
Did you watch Game 7 of the 2010 NBA Finals against the Celtics?
Come on. I mean, the Lakers are... I'm in the Lakers market. I've seen more Laker games than Spurs games.
It is wild in there. There's some serious home court advantage. Obviously, you can pick the field. I'm going with the Lakers. They're the best team. They're the favorites to win this year. There's always an opportunity. Any team can win on any given night. But I'm definitely rolling with the Lakers. They're going to be even that much better this year. Again, they got two guys that on any given night will give you 18. On top of your two superstars and, you know, keeping KCP, who took that next step. You got Marc Gasol coming in. Alex Caruso in the bubble, man, that guy turned into an amazing role player. I'm not saying he's, you know, obviously there's the jokes about him, you know, saying he's the GOAT and stuff like that, but a fantastic role player. I'm really looking forward to this NBA season, and I am taking the Lake Show to repeat back-to-back championships.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting season with COVID and
what's going to happen
and everything, seeing how it all is going to work out.
For sure.
But speaking of basketball, we'll kind of wrap up this show. We former NBA basketball player Nate Robinson went up against Jake Paul in the Legends Only League.
Yep.
He got dropped. Look, it's funny. It's crazy. Like, that was Jake Paul, you know, who's a YouTube star.
Yep.
That was his second fight, Nate Robinson's first, but it literally looked like Jake Paul had 10 years of advantage over Nate Robinson. He just was walking into punches.
Bigger, stronger, better technique.
He just looked like a kid that was just so angry. You could just tell he was so anxious to get in there and fight. He was just swinging at everything.
He's pretty ripped, you know?
Yeah, he's buff, he's athletic, but he was just swinging at everything. So he took his shots, and then obviously Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr., ends in a draw.
What about expected?
Yeah, I mean, good to see. It's always you always kind of feel bad for these moments like this, like these players who kind of make this comeback for the younger crowd. You know, like obviously, you know, Tyson. We caught some of the tail end of Tyson's career. Mm-hmm. We know how bad he is because we still saw him in somewhat of prime shape. But, you know, the younger crowd, they see Mike Tyson, it's just like, oh, who's this old? Who are these two old guys? You know, I saw someone on Twitter said, like, these look like, or who is it? Was it OBJ or someone like that? Looked like two uncles fighting at the cookout or something like that.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Thanksgiving. So it did, you know, was, you know, you always feel bad for that side of it. But, you know, still good sport.
Yep.
Jake Paul says he wants to fight Conor McGregor. We'll see.
See what happens. I think Conor McGregor takes that, but... That's another topic for another time.
For another week in review.
I love week in review. It's probably my favorite segment that we do. I enjoy just kind of recapping what happened in the life of sports.
Chop it up and breaking it down.
Yep.
So we'll see you guys on the next episode of Water Break. Thanks for listening and stay hydrated.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Water Break. New episodes get released every Monday and Wednesday.
So be sure to hit that subscribe button on whatever podcast app you're listening to right now to be notified when a new episode is available. For more exclusive content, check us out on Instagram at Water Break Pod, or you can watch us on YouTube. Thanks for listening. Stay hydrated.